Hey everyone, welcome back to the Your Fielder's Choice NHL podcast. I am your host, Devin, joined by, as always, by Pete. How are you doing today, Pete?
What's up, Devin? Doing good. Ready for NBA break, right? So I'm noticing we've made, I noticed some more contests DA was putting out. That's one good thing. But then you hear all the talk about, oh, there's all the NBA players and all the fish playing and all that. But, still a tough game. You still got to get the plays right. So that's why we play. I do notice a lot of new touts out there, though, on Twitter. There's a lot of people are.
Oh, I'm sure for the
Talking
next couple
content today.
days.
Yep.
Yep.
Everybody's NHL, like, I'm noticing.
Yeah. So, without further ado, let's jump right into things. We've got a decent little six-game slate. As always, we'll start with Vegas. Implied totals. We've got the Golden Knights at 3.6 against San Jose. We've got Tampa Bay at 3.5 in that rematch with Chicago. We've got Colorado 3.4, Boston 3.5. Two, Minnesota 3, Washington and St. Louis 2.9, LA 2.7, everybody else 2.6 or below. So right off the bat, again, Vegas is gonna dictate some ownership. So you've got Colorado back at home. They've been struggling a little bit, but you gotta assume Nathan MacKinnon's gonna be pretty popular here.
Yeah, and that's been my kind of decision all afternoon with him is it looks like he's back. He had they thought it was a possible concussion, but obviously it's not. I see Skate this morning and I see the lines still together. So he is probably overall the top play at center. I mean, you're looking at three massive favorites here, right? Vegas, Tampa, and Colorado, and then right below that, Boston. So to me, my builds, I'm either starting with MacKinnon, and then I'd probably like to lock him up with Rantanen, who actually had the last game early on the Pasta tonight and Pasternak. So I've been going back and forth. Do I play MacKinnon with Pasternak, or do I roll a little mini combo with Bergeron and Pasternak? I'm on Pasternak today. I don't want to get off him. I know he's expensive. But so I'm either my top guy is either going to be MacKinnon and Bergeron, and then I think you can probably pay down at center. From what I look at, is I don't see a lot of expensive centers that I really like besides the two big guys there
Yeah,
in cash.
the numbers are kind of staggering here. Nathan MacKinnon has 1.51 points per home game over the last two seasons. That's almost a full half point above the next closest, which is actually sneaky Anze Kopitar at 1.02 points per game.
That's who
Nobody else
I like.
nobody else at the position has a split home or away split with above 1 point per game today. So kind of rare to see that. So MacKinnon's—he really is the clear top play at home. I mean, listen, he has 22 points in 19 games for Nathan MacKinnon, though. That's not good. He's not having a great year. I'm just waiting on him to
No.
explode. So I absolutely like him here. They need this win. So I certainly like him. He's the clear top pay if you play here if you can get to him, and it's really not close. But he is expensive, so and you can consider his power play mates for cheaper and still get exposure to him. So
What's he, 8'9"? And yeah, he's definitely he's the cream of the crop here. And like you said, he's going to be. And maybe some of it with me is, and maybe I'm leaning more GBP talk here, is if you look back and a lot, right now, a lot of MacKinnon's stuff is a lot of his points are coming from like shots and assists. It's not like the MacKinnon we're used to, but yeah, he's still probably with the still in the top three centers in the game. So I guess maybe I'm just so used to seeing much more foam. I think you're right, you're going to see explosion. So cash, yeah, MacKinnon's the play. I'm just saying I may get a little different. I haven't had much luck with that Bergeron Pasternak line this year when they're together. I've had luck with one-offs from them. So, but they're to me they're the two top plays. MacKinnon is the overall, but like you said, Kopitar really comes into me. I like Anze Kopitar a lot. I like that price, and he may be my SP too. I mean, he's a great mid, you know, that 6-1 is a nice price. He's got 24 points in 21 games. And the other thing, he's done well against the Blues this year. He's got a goal and 3 assists in 4 games against the Blues. And I think the Kings are actually, they're not one of the top teams in implied totals, but I think they got a 2.7 implied, and I think they're one of the sneakier teams down below today if you want to creep down under that 3.0 range for implied goals, which would be, to me, Kopitar is the leader of all that.
Yeah, see, and this is where you and I do differ a little bit. I'm a little bit more of a log watcher, I'll admit that. See, for me, Burge 7-7, I can't play him. He has one double digit in 6 games. He has 3 total over his last 11 games. I can't pay that price for a guy with that kind of production. I'd rather go up to McKinnon. And then don't sleep on Kadri here, though, if you can't afford McKinnon. Kadri's been phenomenal lately. 14.5, 18.5, and he has a dud. 30.1, 14.1, dud, 12, 13. So of his last 8 games, 6 of them are 12 or higher. He has been on fire.
Yeah, I was looking at actually his logs before we came on, and he's actually had a better season than I thought he was. I know he's had one of his better ones, but his totals are up through pretty much with McKinnon's. So
yeah, and at a drastically cheaper price. So I like Kadri, I like McKinnon. And then I think you got to consider these Vegas guys with that high total. You've got Chandler Stephenson, remains in this top line role, top power play. He's got points in back-to-back games. His log's not great, but he's certainly there. And then Glass remains on the power play as well. He has points in back-to-back games. So really, I probably like McKinnon and Kadri pairing the best, or like a Kopitar in there. But yeah, you do have some cheaper options here. Do you like anybody else at the position?
I was just finishing up my top plays, and I actually put Chandler Stephenson in there in a value because it is what it is. I don't like playing these Vegas, especially these Vegas centers. And especially with Carlson, but right now when you got a guy like Stevenson, he's on the top line, he's on the top power play, they're the top implied for the night, and you got a guy sitting there at 4-2 on DK, 4-4 on FanDuel. It's pretty damn cheap. I like it better than Carlson. Somebody's going to score points there. I never seem like I can get them right, so I just stay away from Vegas. But I would say Stevenson is definitely in play in both cash and GBP. And one other name, and it's just when he's having a poor season, he's been out, and I couldn't believe until when I first had to take a double take, is David Krejci is only 3-6 now. Yeah, and no, he's out. I mean, he's still David Krejci. He still didn't overnight become a horrible hockey player.
He has 10 points in 16 games. It's not bad. It just doesn't have any goals.
He's on the second line, so yeah. he's going to make somebody money one of these nights because he's not going to. He's going to start scoring goals. He's on a second line with that's a Nick Ritchie line, right? Probably him and DeBrusque, I believe. So
yeah,
Krejci making more than one lineup. Throw Krejci in there. And I definitely agree with the Kadri call. So to me, center is condensed today. And you're right, McKinnon is on the top line. If I went to Bergeron, because I like to combine my big winger, my favorite winger. If I did use Pasternak, but you can definitely go with McKinnon Pasternak too if you have the value. But McKinnon is, you know, I don't want to get anybody confused. McKinnon is overall the top cash play, and he will catch the ownership tonight.
Yep. I got one more name, one more value. Carl Soderberg continues to just have, he's come out of nowhere here. He's got 10 points in 19 games. He's got points in 4-5 of his last 6, 8 of his last 10. He's quietly having a good season. He's still on power play 1, 3-7. I think I'd rather play Glass at 3-2 on the top power play, but that is another name to add to it. And let's transition right over to wing. And I do want to, because I want to bring up a value before I forget it. Because to be honest, I'm really kicking myself 2 slates ago for not playing this guy. Ryan Carpenter's back on the top power play unit. He's only 2.7K. So we were riding the Boqvist while he was in the 2s, and it worked fantastic. Boquist price has finally creeped above three. Well, now we've got Ryan Carpenter on this top unit at 2.7K. He's got three goals over the last two games. He's only playing about 10 minutes, but he's got a power play point. He plays on the penalty kill. He had a shorty last game. So only 2.7K. It's a risk, but if you need a punt, that's a punt I certainly like. Just as in that same thought as what we were riding with Boquist. You're taking a chance on a guy at dirt cheap, giving yourself exposure to that power play with Patrick Kane.
Definitely, and I am glad you brought it up because I wrote up today's featured showdown is Chicago-Tampa, which is 8 p.m. So I wrote that game up today. Some value plays because there's a lot of star power in that game. You got Brincat, you got Kane, you got Stammer, you know, all these guys, and I'm looking, you know, so you want to actually find some value. My first thought was Boquist, who I like, and I still like. I mean, anytime you're the quarterback of a power play that features Kane and DeBrincat, you're in play. And I came across Carpenter, and I think you brought him up the last podcast. So I dug in a little bit more. I'm trying to see if I can use this guy as a value play on my showdown team, and wow, and I was really surprised at this, actually how well, since he returned to the lineup, he was on the COVID list in six games. Now remember, he's typically a defense first, fourth liner. He's all of a sudden grown into this offensive role. He had two goals on Saturday night against the Red Wings, Saturday or Sunday. And then I started looking at the stats. He's attempted more shots than last, 11.8 per 60 minutes. He's being more accurate. 67% of those attempts are on goal, which is obviously forcing the goalies, you know, to spit out more rebounds with three times more often now when you're at 67%. And he's producing 9.0 scoring chances per 16 minutes, which is up from 5.4 last year. And he still has to sacrifice his defense, which is pretty, for 2.7, yeah, definitely in play. And they had a story about how he's good friends with Aaron Shaw, who actually he's in Andrew Shaw's old spot as the rover on that 1-3-1 power play, on the 1-3-1 formation. So that's a nice spot to be in, especially when he's surrounded by Kane.
Yeah, which the rover doesn't carry as much upside as you know, the point man. But again, it's just that the concept is simply on the ice on a power play. It just puts you in a spot to get a piece. So at 2.7, I certainly don't mind that play. I do want to mention one center just really quick. I was looking at Minnesota because we seem to always forget Minnesota, and that's actually been one of my favorite teams this year. I played them a lot. They shuffled the top power play unit a little bit. I really like Joel Eriksson-Ek again, a guy that we leaned on pretty early in the season. He has double digits in three of his last four, including last game in which he didn't score a point. He had five shots on goal and four block shots in 19 minutes. But what I like here is he's in the top line, which I've been liking, but he took the top power play spot now. So it's Zuccarello, Kaprizov, Ryan Suter, Fiala, and Eriksson-Ek. So that's exposure to three really good offensive players in Fiala, Kaprizov, and Zuccarello. So I like Joel Eriksson-Ek, just kind of stumbling on him as another center that I like here.
Yep, definitely at 4-5. And he's got two goals in the last four games. So in his last game, he didn't get any goals, but he had five shots, four block shots. That's monster peripherals.
Yeah.
So, good call. Good call on Eriksson-Ek. And, Mams, I play Kevin Fiala a lot too. So it's a nice piece to get a piece of Fiala in that Minnesota power play. You're right.
Yeah, so I like that entire top power play unit. Zuccarello finally came back to earth a little bit, pointless the last two games, but that was against Vegas. Arguably what, top three team in the league against one of the hottest goaltenders in the world right now. So I don't put a ton of stock into that. So I continue to like Zuccarello. I continue to like Kaprizov. Kaprizov slogs nuts, man. He has double digits in nine of his last 11, coming in at just 4-6. Five shots last game, so he's played over 20 minutes the last two games. So, yeah, don't sleep on Minnesota here. it's just a team I really like this year. Yeah. So moving on with wing though, obviously Rantanen, Landeskog, these guys are elite plays, super high total. I love that they're back home. They need this. This is one of those games. It feels like every time they have a couple kind of letdown games in a row, they explode. Landeskog is still only 5-9 goals in 3 straight. He had a 4-point game last game. He should be chalky here. I actually got punished big time for fading him last slate. It's one of my favorite lineups of the year. It was all top 6 players in power play 1. It had 3 superstars on it. But then Landeskog went nuts and I got punished for not being balanced. So expect him to be chalky here considering this little run that he's on with 3 goals and 6 points total over his last 3 games.
That line, it would be awesome to get all 3 of them together, especially in GPPs. I believe simply Rantanen more, but not the way Landeskog. What is Landeskog's price right now?
5.59.
Okay. Now I'm looking at Andre Palat at 5.2 as I'm looking at some mid-range guys here. And yeah, Landeskog's probably, I love Palat in that role, Tampa 1, power play 1. I used him last night and he got me crazy points last night on peripherals and just shots and block shots and pretty much helped me cash. But I think if I lean that Landeskog play a little bit better, depend on it. If I went ranting there or not,
you could really go. See, I actually think, like I said, I kind of got punished for forcing in the big boys last game. Listen, Pasta's been as consistent as it gets, double digits, and essentially every game you can just pencil them in for a point or double digits. But it's hard to ignore. We've got Landeskog. We've got Mark Stone at 5.77 coming up back-to-back multi-point games. We've got Andre Palat at 5.2.
Stone's a lock.
So I don't know, man. It might just make more sense to just take these 5K guys. We've got multiple just duds on the board that are entirely too cheap here.
Kevin Fiala is only 5.5.
Yeah, you've got this mid-range is just loaded.
I mean, he gets these goal slumps. Now, he hasn't had a goal now in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like 7 games since he had those two goals in Anaheim 2 weeks ago. He's definitely due against, I think it's LA, to when he had like 6, 7 shots and an assist. So, yeah, I mean, I just feel this is one of the nice. I don't play Pasta and he's going to go off, but man, I see you're definitely playing. I think Mark Stone's a lock at 5.7. He's rolling right now. Also, I mean, he had a terrible start. Goal and 6 assists over his last 2 games. He had that one big game though, and you probably do want to piece that Vegas one somewhere. But yeah, I could see a Stone, Landeskog, and we didn't even mention Jonathan Marshall either. I mean, he's sitting on that with that Vegas 2 line, I guess. I mean, he's very cheap, like 4.4.
Yeah, Riley Smith's incredibly cheap as I've literally ever seen him. There are some options on the board today. Riley Smith is not having a good year.
No, he's not at all.
But at 3.1, top 6 roll, highest implied total of the day, you could certainly go that direction. Don't sleep on Burakovsky at 3.6. He's manning the second power play unit now. He's always been a home splits type of player. Let me see what he's at, actually. He is at 0.76 points per home game, which is pretty solid for his price range. Marshall, which you mentioned, is at 0.78 points per home game. Kaprizov, that I mentioned, is averaging a point per road game. He's been really good on the road. Yeah, this 5K range, you got Zouk as well at 0.92 points per road game. That's a small sample. Mark Stone, 0.92 as well. Evander Kane, even 0.83.
Yeah, I was just going to mention
really
Kane.
Well. Yeah, there's a lot of options on the board here.
2 more values. Zach Sanford, 3,700, getting hot again. 4 goals, 6 points his last 3 games. He's on the top top unit, right, with O'Reilly and Kyrou, power play two. And one more name, I brought him up before, like this kid Kempe for the Kings. Nice value play tonight. He's got 3 points his last two games. The only thing that bothers me, he's on a bottom line, but he will shoot, and he's got a little bit of a floor to him. So he's on the power play. So just a couple of names. I mean, I think Stanford, I think, is in a pretty deep, these are spots. I think St. Louis may surprise some people. They're implied drop down to 2.9, but right, and we're not even mentioning any Capitals. So this could be a big hell of a game between the Capitals and Bruins. I don't like playing Capitals anyways, but I mean, Ovi's there. I think Ovi's a terrible DFS player. I think Ovi's not even a great player anymore. But he's going to get you every now and then. He's going to get you a huge night.
Yeah, I think the reason that game's probably being overlooked, so they played a couple nights ago, went to a shootout. So they played an extra 5 minutes. There was 28 shots for the Capitals and 19 for the Bruins. It took 16 minutes for the Bruins to get their first shot on net.
I thought there was something wrong with NHL.com. And I was
right?
Like,
I know.
My daughter's game, and I'm looking. I'm like, why is there like one shot? And
then, yeah.
That went to shit quick.
Which, that was the night I jammed in Pasta, which Pasta did hit the post twice in the first 15 minutes. So he did get unlucky there. I haven't had any luck with the Caps this year. I find them to be very difficult to predict, and I have zero interest in Ovechkin 90% of the time. Technically they're there. Alex Killorn, you brought up. You brought him up yesterday. I don't even know if you realize it, but he went nuts last night. He's still only 3-3. He played over 20 minutes last night. Had 2 points.
I actually have him locked in as my showdown captain tonight. I'm just trying to jam in all the stars, and he's got to get hot. He's too good of a player from what he's doing, you know, from how he's playing. And I think I like him as Stammer. Everybody down here in Tampa, you hear a lot of Lightning talk down here, and everybody wants him a Tyler Johnson. Seems to be much better when he plays a Johnson. They still have the old days when the Rangers were rivals, but I think. When Killorn gets hot, you know, ride the hot streak, and you may see him. That was big for him last night. He scored that goal with like less than a second left in overtime. That was huge. So that may be what he needed also to get going here.
Yeah, absolutely. And then last thing, we'll move on. If you find yourself in need of some punts, which we did mention a couple, but you do have Anaheim, not a good total, really tough matchup, but I mean, you can get top six power play one guys from Anaheim for near minimum priced. So, I played Henrique the other day and he actually did okay. So there are options. Zegers got his first point.
You got
Ricky. Hey, Ricky's too. Heating up for you, man.
Yep. He's definitely, he's finally getting some breaks, what it is. He's scored 30 goals. And he he's getting tail breaks. But now I think, three games? I see he's got 5 points in three games.
Yeah, he's been so pretty good lately.
If he continues, he's going to outplay that 4-2.
This is an interesting slate. Like I said, I think I'm looking at kind of a decently balanced day. Like I said, I got burnt the other day for punt and stud. So maybe I'm overreacting going balanced. That's my first look. But there are, if you do want to go stud, there are some 3K range, again, like Riley Smith, Alex Killorn. There are some guys in the 3K range in top six roles for high implied totals. So Brandon Saad, Burakovsky, these guys are all top six high totals. So, all right, let's move over to defense. Who you liking here?
All right, so I don't see any reason, again, for me to go to pay up. If you do pay up, I kind of like Shea Theodore's price at 5.9. Power play one, he's on that top unit with Pietrangelo. I got three names I'm looking at. Great Schlick for Boston. I mean, he's back. First game, he didn't have a great game. It was only one game. Quarterback in that Boston one, way too cheap for me.
He actually dropped a couple hundred bucks, and he did play 21 minutes.
I'm just going to say, he played over 20 minutes. Boquist hurt me last night, but I still was able to get through in cash. I'll still keep playing this kid as long as he's quarterback and top power play with Kane at that price. I think both of those guys are maybe my two defensemen. I like to go cheap in defense. If not, Cole Makar is out. I know his prices went up. I know I've been seeing a lot of talk, you know, on the boards and stuff about Sam Girard being 4-9. I don't care. Girard is still to me is in play as a power play 1 point man and top pairing. I don't mind Girard either. They're my top three tonight.
Yeah, Girard's got three straight double digits with points in all three since Makar went down. He's got double digits in 5 of 7, so he's playing well. Yeah, if I'm paying up, Girard's probably as high as I go.
Drew Doughty's not having a bad year either. Can't believe I'm saying that, but he's been a solid defenseman this year.
Yep, I do like Ryan Suter being the only defender up in that top on that top power play now. He hasn't done much, but he's only 3-2. Again, I really like that top unit.
Oh, really? Suter's only 3-2 on the top power play.
Yep, so he's 3-2.
That's interesting.
Yep, Cam Fowler continues his hot streak. He's got points in 5 straight.
You can always seem to play him in cash. He always gets you a few points.
Yep, Matt Roy's 2-9, looking like power play 2. Osterley, 3-2, power play 2. This Jacob Zboril's 2-6, power play 2. I've actually tinkered with him early in the year. I don't think he's got a single double-digit game the entire season, though, so I'm not overly interested in that. They really ride that power play 1. The power play 2 is essentially like, oh, there's 10 seconds left. Hop out there.
Throw him out there.
Yeah, so he doesn't really have – I'm not really interested in that. Vince Dunn's a guy who flashes upside at 2-9. So we do have some options and guys and in power Ryan play Suter. Roles for 3K or under.
I don't mind that Ryan Suter call.
Yeah, I'm liking that. I'm liking that power play. What Minnesota's done, they've been pretty vocal about it. They kind of went balanced with their two power play units all season and essentially said it was 1A and 1B, and whichever was hottest was who they were going to roll with. Well, it looks to me now like they're kind of loading up that top unit a little bit here, you know, taking a guy like Victor Rosco, who really probably shouldn't have been on the top power play unit, going with just one defender instead of multiple. So it looks like they're trying to load up a little bit on that top unit. So I definitely like Ryan Suter at that price. And then the two guys you mentioned as well, the two values and Samuel Girard would be my favorites on the board.
Yeah, there's nobody between like 4 and 5 I like beside Girard. Everybody to me is all, you know, all below that Suter, Boston kid, Boquist, or, you know, going up to like, to me, Theodore or Doughty. I don't need Hedman at that price. I don't need John Carlson. He hasn't had points in the last couple of games. He'll give you some shots and blocks, but no. To me, like defense is going to be condensed.
Yep, agreed. So, all right, let's take a look at goalie. A little bit weak here. We got probably some backup starting in the Tampa Bay game. You do have Curtis McKillinney at 7-9. He's actually been pretty good on the road. Last two seasons, he's got 13 starts on the road. He's gone 7-4 with a 1.87 goals against, a 0.93 save percentage. So that's pretty darn good. 300 more, but you can get Fleury. Grubo, of course, at 8-4. Who are you leaning, pay up or pay down today?
I think Fleury is probably the top goalie in hockey right now, playing that. I really do. If I had the money, yeah, I would go to Fleury. If not, last night, I think for the first time in 3 or 4 years, I played Bob at goalie. And, man, he had a shutout going halfway through the game. I was getting excited. Then he let up a damn goal with – they emptied their net out, but I got through. So it scares me playing these guys in the low sevens, and there's really nobody there tonight. Is Ranta confirmed? He's 7-4. He's unconfirmed still. Maybe Ranta. What about who is Peterson in goal or Quick?
I think Peterson will start, but I'm not sure. Quick started last game and did not play well. Peterson's been my dude all year. He's been a lock for double digits, so I like Peterson.
Yep. This is a winnable game for the Kings too. So 920 save percentage. You should see a lot of shots today too. Yeah, I could go right now. I could dig Peterson. You want to drop all the way down to Vanacek? 7-3 GPP. I don't think I'd be using him in cash, but I'm assuming that Vanacek's in net, right? GPP only because a lot of Boston guys are going to be popular. Yeah, so, okay, Peterson. Peterson is my play. I think I'll be using Peterson. I get, and give me some extra money if I need it.
Yep, I'm depending on build, but yeah, I like Peterson. He's been, like I said, he's assuming he's starting. He's been a guy I'm very interested in every time he starts. He has double digits in 5 straight and 8 of the last 9. So he's been very consistent. It hasn't really mattered if he's losing because he's seeing about 30-plus shots against the game, which is giving him upside. Don't mind the other side of that. And this Hustle kid who's been decent with double digits in 4 of his last 5. But Peterson, for the same price, his log's much more impressive. Yeah, that's probably where I'm leaning as well at the moment. Subban and Ned is a GPP play. He does have a couple 20-plus. Way I'm touching that in cash, but GPP, sure. He's shown flashes upside this year. Not touching John Gibson. He hasn't had a good game in about a month. Not touching anybody from Anaheim here. And, yeah, Ranta, both sides of the Minnesota game I don't mind either. Kakkonen's, if he is starting, he's actually quietly been really good. He's got 5 straight wins. He's got 20 or more in 3 of his last 4, so he's been good as well at 7-8.
Yeah. So I'm to the point now you can almost use any of these guys.
Yeah,
you never take. But I think, to me, it's going to be Fleury or Donna Peterson. That's the way I'm going to go. If I had the money for Fleury, I'm all on Fleury. If not, I'm going to go to Peterson. Obviously, Fleury's not confirmed yet either, right? They never confirm their guys. So that's the way.
No.
That's where I'm going right now.
Yep, can dig that. Like I said, McKillen is technically in play. He's actually showing as our highest owned goalie at the moment, but he is a backup for a reason, and his log is kind of like Matt Murray's last night. It's true boomer bust. He has a 24.2 and an 18.6 on his log, and in between he has a negative 10. So just be wary of that. It's goalie. It's been pretty tough to predict all year. So just kind of got to trust your gut a little bit, take a look at those logs, try and grab guys, that are playing with confidence, because that's a real thing, especially in net. You don't want to play a guy who hasn't had double digits in a month, like John Gibson or something.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be playing that in cash. So, all right. Well, with that being said, Top Plays article will be out shortly, and the cheat sheet is live and will be updated a final time around 6 or so. Get all these goalie confirmations in here and whatnot. So should have some extra players with NHL this weekend. So if you are new to the sport, be sure to head over to yourfielderschoice.com, check out all of our content, our cheat sheet, and it's got everything you need paired with this to compete. Have a good week.
All right. Good luck, guys. Good weekend.
All right. Good luck.